Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Hey guys, how's it going? Happy Wednesday night, or whenever you're watching this. You know, what's cool about this is you may be watching live and you might be watching the next morning or later on in the evening after the kids have gone to bed. I know for me, it's been a little wild having the kids home, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I only have one. I have one that should be home because she's 6 months old.
Mm-hmm.
My 3.5-year-old, man, she's not going to school, no interaction. My wife is amazing. She has been coming up with programs for my kid every single day. And you got two boys.
You got two crazy boys. We have to trank them to get them to go to sleep. That's what we find that works.
It's a gun, yeah, one of those Jurassic Park.
No, it's like a blow dart gun.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Perfect.
Getting right in the neck when they won't go to sleep. Just kidding.
It's a joke, guys.
But am
I? It's not a big deal. But but yeah, I think we both have a lot of love and a lot of sympathy for those with young children because we have them too. And so, hence why we're out on the river this morning.
That's right.
Not from our homes. We're just doing what we can to survive here. But it's been a weird time. It's been strange. It's been fun in a weird way for me. I was talking to you about this when we got in the car on the way up, about how church has felt raw. It's felt fun. It's felt like it did when we first started doing ministry.
It's been stripped down. It's like almost as if what started as uncomfortable and unfamiliar has now become refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we're having to kind of like create new ways or have created new ways to have church and to reach community. And that really is refreshing. Mm-hmm. It's been like a jump start, at least for our spiritual walk, is what we were talking about.
I think
about.
So, yeah. I mean, it's been good. It's been good for me. I think when my life gets shaken up in any way, it always makes me stop and think about what's really important in life.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me, you know, why I first got into ministry in the first place. And it was for my love for God, really. I mean, that's what it was. And that has led us to a lot of different, led us on a lot of different adventures. And mm-hmm. It's been fun. It's been interesting. But I want to start tonight. We're going to have a discussion about church. We're going to have a discussion about what it means to be part of the church and how culture is changing and how those culture changes have an effect on the church, but how the church remains the same in a lot of ways because we are connected to God and God never changes. And so I want to talk to you guys about that. Some of you guys are wondering, you know, what we're thinking as leaders. And we're the younger leaders, we're the younger crew. We've been given Wednesday nights, so Wednesday nights have been looking a little bit different than Sunday mornings, but they're both beneficial. And tonight is going to be a little bit less traditional as far as teaching goes. We're going to get into some scripture, but Sunday morning is definitely the more traditional model. So for now, while we're doing this, we're just going to do it a little bit different. So hopefully you guys can appreciate that.
Yeah, and if you have any questions about what we've discussed or maybe we didn't talk enough about a certain topic, please feel free to email us. You can find those emails at vbf.org. You can search under the staff members section and find our contact info. Because really what could be cool, because I'm sure a lot of people do have questions. They mm-hmm. see us starting to be up there on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. And some people might, you know, that have been going to the church for a decade or more, might be going like, well, what ideas, what plans? And we really want to hear from you. Maybe you have some creative thoughts or some questions, and maybe we could do a part two of something like mm-hmm. this down the road where we can answer some of those questions live.
Definitely.
Or definitely answer your emails at the very least so you know what's going on in our
Yeah,
brains.
We prefer to hang out with you guys in person. We prefer to talk to you guys individually, but there's so many people. So if you want to reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook, reach out to Shane, you can email or social media as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we would love to talk to you. So we want to start a conversation. So I'm going to start with three predictions that I have for the church in general. All right.
Okay.
So Shane doesn't know what these are. We haven't really shared notes. We talked about what we were going to talk about for a minute, but we're flying by the seat of our pants. We're going to have a real conversation.
Right. Here. I like it.
Yeah. So the first prediction is I think that people in the future are going to invest less time in traditional church, but they're going to expect a lot more. Okay?
Okay.
I think they're going to, and I'm not saying this is a good thing. I'm just saying this is where I see culture headed.
Okay.
Okay? As a whole. Not necessarily VBFers, because VBF people, they're hardcore. We had the drive-in church service, and I was amazed at how many people just rolled out and sat in their car and had church in their car. So this is a different group, but I'm speaking of culturally in general, I think
the church as a whole, American church.
Americans, just culture in
AC.
General. I think this applies to business too, that people are going to invest less time but expect more quality. I really do think that.
Mm-hmm.
The second prediction I have is that people will focus more on daily habits that promote health. I think that's going to happen. I've seen a lot of trends on social media where people are starting to take their mental health seriously. They're even starting to take their spiritual health seriously. Mm-hmm. And it may not involve God with everyone that you see online, right? But a lot of people are starting to meditate and do these things. And a lot, some people, when you see meditation, you think, oh, that's hippie, you know, that's new age, that's weird. But the Bible talks about meditation a lot.
Right.
And so as a church, if we can get to a place where we can foster, you know, what we would probably call worship and prayer mm-hmm. on a daily basis and teach people how to do that and show them how to do that, I think that'd be really cool. The third prediction that I have is that need is going to increase. Spiritual need, first and foremost, is going to increase. Mm-hmm. Mental health needs are going to increase. And then physical needs. I think we are in, unfortunately, I don't know how long it's going to be, but we are in for a financial strain in our country because of COVID, because of this disaster that's happened. And so with those three predictions, I wanted to just talk and just think about what that means for us as a church. Like, what does that mean for us as leaders?
What was the first prediction again?
Okay, so the first prediction is that people will expect more but invest less of their time. So I think that what that means is that people are going to go to one church service and they're going to have their daily habits. I think VBF has been unique, and I think we will continue to be unique, but I'm talking about church as a whole.
Sure.
That I think that the VBF has a culture of, you know, be involved in everything. And there's a core group of people that are involved in everything, and they give their life to the church. I think that moving forward, I think that younger people are going to see spirituality as more integrated into the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to say, I'm gonna worship and pray every day. I'm going to go to church on Sundays. And I expect a lot out of that, you know?
So quality over quantity type
thing. And I'm not saying this is good.
Sure, right. And I would.
How would we react to that?
Right, and I would agree with you if I could speak about it for a second. And again, I don't want to sound ignorant just because, you know, I'm only in my mid-30s, but, you know, I was brought up in a Baptist church. You know, you have enough conversations with people, you do enough studying to know that, you know, in the 80s, maybe even farther back, if you were a person that was invested in going to church, you invested a lot of time in church. My grandparents invested a lot of time in church. You could probably speak to your dad, being a pastor's kid, right. Church wasn't just Sundays and Wednesdays.
No.
You know what I mean? You
no,
had,
yeah.
You know, there's the segments of faith out there where they have revivals for days, right? There's people that have conventions. There's the type of religions that where your services were hours long, mm-hmm. right? So what we've got.
And you used to get points almost for how much time you put in, right?
Right. That
it's
was
like, oh, that person's much more spiritual because they're here every single
that
day.
Was life. And again, not saying that was a bad thing, but to speak to your point, we see ourselves, this millennial generation that's coming up, and I know that's an oversized word or overused word, but they really are people that they don't like to waste time, it seems.
Right.
Even though from maybe an adult perspective or an older person's perspective, you may look, and again, you can't just throw a blanket statement that all millennials are like this, but from what I've noticed is it's quality over quantity.
Right.
They want to make, when they go to church, they're going to get something out of church
right.
while they're there, or they're not going to return because it wasn't worth the time that they put
right.
in there,
right.
right? Which makes sense to your point, to where it's like people are going to start going to church with more of a purpose. I think going further with this, like that, you know, and I don't want to say this in a negative light, but over the years, and I'm sure it could be even now, people would go, you could preach from stage, and because of that platform you had, people would take it as face value
right.
and say that that's boom.
Mm-hmm.
Now the new generation, not only are they going to want to come to church and want quality while they're there, quality relationships, quality facts and truth.
Yeah.
They're going to question, which isn't a bad thing.
Right.
Again, we're not saying this is good or bad, the way that church is going, but they're going to want to know that what you said is truth and facts, whether that's questioning you or looking up themselves. And I guess what that really is, it might lead to smaller congregations because people are going to want to know that what's the real deal.
Well,
people are looking for something that's real.
It would be easy to look at where culture's going and think negatively and think, I can't handle where culture's going, so I'm going to step back and step out of culture and do my own thing. It'd be also easy for us to get the attitude of, well, we need to lead this generation, and they, you know, they'll never follow anyone unless they're leading. But at some point, you have to look at it as, is this all bad? Mm-hmm. I mean, quality, here's one thing when I think of quality in any faucet, but especially in church. Quality is when there's authenticity. And so if I come to church and there's good music and there's a good, Shane or Josh does a good job preaching, or Ron does a good job preaching, that's cool, that's great. But if I come to church and somebody is authentic with me and talks to me and says, I'm glad you're here, and you know that that's coming from the heart, that's the quality that I'm talking about, right? Not production, we can get better at our sermons, I think, right? We can do a better job, and hopefully we will continue to grow in that. But the authenticity of real love. Like, if you can come to church and actually feel loved, I think that that is where the church needs to meet this generation and say, hey, and VBF as a church, we've done a really good job at that.
Absolutely.
And so I want to encourage you guys that have done that, that have made us all feel at home. Because I joke, but growing up, I always felt weird going to church, even though I grew up in church, you know? There were certain people that would make you feel awkward, make you feel like you're never good enough. But then there was also other people that made you feel like family. And I want to see more of that in the future of, when we come together, let's treat each other like family, like we really care, even if somebody's not perfect, right?
Absolutely. You have a verse?
So, I do. I have a few verses.
While you're looking that up, to speak to the authenticity, that's one thing that kind of attracted me to VBF, which I think that is why, and I use the word successful, but I don't want to make it seem as though that we've done anything business-wise to make it successful. It says that, we can try all we want, but unless God builds a house, we labor in vain. But when I came to VBF, it was the authentic from your dad, the message, the people there. I remember when we first came and it was in the old sanctuary, we all played music, we were all in bands, we had tattoos and we're walking in the church, and because, I grew up in the Baptist church, I'm like, these people aren't going to let us in the building. And I remember the first night we went was on a Wednesday, and there was a dude with a green mohawk walking down the aisle, and I said, okay, well, if they're going to kick us out, that dude's going to get kicked out too, so we might be in a good place. And obviously that's on looks. Authenticity just ranges across the whole board, but I do believe that this upcoming generation and the generations before that, they have to have authenticity. We have to, as we move forward as a church, we can't just play church. Which, it's easy, speaking back to our point of this whole coronavirus, has tossed everything up to where it's really refreshed us to where we're not playing church anymore.
No.
We're not just doing the same old church services with the same old program. It is stirred up. Romans 8:28, God has used this thing to stir his people back up to this authentic love again. And that's what attracts people to God. It really does.
So with the second prediction that people will focus more on daily habits, they'll focus more on meditation or whatever it is, yoga. You think of like yoga and thinking nice thoughts, thinking good thoughts. That's great. But if you're able to focus on, even if you like mesh it into your workout program, whatever, on a daily habit of just worshiping God and praying and reading the Bible, but doing it not in a religious way, but in a way to where you can clear your mind and connect with God on a daily basis, that would change everything. But it goes back to what you're saying. It's authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we meet on Sunday mornings or on Wednesday nights, seeing people authentically worship God, seeing people authentically talk about God, seeing people authentically seek God is so important. Mm-hmm. I have a scripture that I do want to read. It's a very popular scripture, one of the most popular that you'll hear it all over the place. But it's Jeremiah 29:11, right? In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." That's a great verse, right? Mm-hmm. God has a plan for his people. I think you know where I'm going with this because you've heard this, my spiel on this before. But context here is everything. So God has a plan for you, and that's really good. But the next two verses kind of lay out the the call for authenticity mm-hmm. in finding that plan from mm-hmm. God. In verse 12, it says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." It says, "I will be found by you, declares the Lord," in verse 14, "and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." I think that verse is so fitting for right now, because what it's saying is God is saying, "I have a plan for you. I have a better way for you, but you're not going to find it until you seek me with everything you have, mm-hmm. until you search for me and realize what's important again, mm-hmm. until you lay down all your worries, your fears, your anxieties, and all these things that bother you on a daily basis." And I think that is going back to the daily habit thing. I think that the church, from this whole COVID experience, hopefully learns to seek God on a daily basis, not just on Sundays, mm-hmm. not just on Wednesdays, right? Mm-hmm.
When you think about these people that are into health, because that's a big, you know, mm-hmm. big phase that's going on right now, mental health. I forget, my wife had a list that she wrote out the other day. It was like a self-care list. Like, you know, this is a thing that's really big for ladies. They need a day to have some self-care. If they mm-hmm. don't, if they feel like they're falling apart, then their entire life is falling apart. So, but to speak to that, I think what that is it's intentional, mm-hmm. right? People are becoming more intentional, and what being intentional does is it breeds dedication.
Right?
It breeds dedication where, you know, again, I don't want to sound ignorant because of my age. There's probably been waves of this in the church, people being dedicated or not, but from what I've seen in the last, being involved in the church the last 15 years, is we've had a wave of people where their dedication has wavered.
Right?
And moving forward with the church, I would love, you know, we're going to come up with, you know, different ways to be able to implement this, but the people that are looking to be dedicated, looking to be intentional, support them. Mm-hmm.
Equip
them. Yeah. Ways to equip them. Right. Ways to support them.
Biblically, that's what the church should be. That's what pastors should do. Our job is to equip people and give them the tools to be able to seek God on their own. Right? In their homes. Mm-hmm. I mean, what better way to get the church into people's homes than to cause the church to have to shut down their physical space activities for a minute mm-hmm. and force people to have church in their home? Mm-hmm. I know that there's a lot of negatives to it, and it's easy to get fixated on that, but the positives are there. I mean, they really are. The fact that we've been praying more with our families, the fact that we've been watching services with our families. I know it's been mm-hmm. interesting for me and you, because we're usually involved in the services and we're at church working, basically. Mm-hmm. And so it's been kind of nice for us to be able to watch on Sundays and do our thing too mm-hmm. with our families. And so there is a refreshing side to it.
Well, you think like in years past, and maybe even now, and some churches do a really good job at this, but a lot of people's viewpoint of the church is, I'm going to go to church so you can provide something to me.
Right.
The people attend church because they want to receive from the Lord, they'll call it, or from the pastor, from people there. They have a need. They need prayer. They need fellowship. They need community. But moving forward is VBF, and we have a small groups plan that we are going to be you know, unleashing, and things that, again, equipping, trying to get the people that are trying to be dedicated and intentional, giving them avenues to do so, right. moving forward, to have a church, to breed a church that is, yes, come receive from God, but also come knowing that you're here to give as well.
Right.
Like
Definitely.
Creating an atmosphere at VBF to where it isn't just the pastoral staff and the volunteers, it's everybody in the church has the power God's given them and wants to use those abilities and giftings to be instruments.
Let me say this, there's something that you and I understand as pastors, as leaders, that I don't know that everyone thinks about, okay? I'm not saying that they wouldn't, but they just probably don't think about it. But the truth is, we realize that we're ministering to people that are on different parts of their journey.
Yeah.
There are some people that need to be literally saved from an addiction or suicide mm-hmm. or something that's about to take them completely out. Their marriage is about to fail. They need to be saved. They need a savior. Mm-hmm. And that's why we bring Jesus into the situation. They usually need to meet Jesus and be saved. But then there are some people that have a relationship with God, but they just need to be pushed a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And they need to be probably, they need to get back to the basics. They need to get back to praying. They need to get back to worshiping. They need to get back to reading. They need to get back to fellowship and just seeking God and getting all the anxieties and worries out of their heart, right? They need to be healed, I would say. And there's a third group of people that are, they're not perfect, but they're ready to go to the next level.
Right.
And I realize that we're right now, even right now, we're speaking to those three groups of people. And so wherever you are on the journey, the best place to start is by worshiping God. So we're gonna pause right here for a second, and we're gonna go ahead and sing a worship song together. So let's do that, and then we're gonna come back with the scripture here at the end and share that with you, and then we'll be on our way. And then tomorrow is gonna be a better day. But let's right now, let's just pray this. Father, I pray that you would open up everyone's heart to seek you, and I pray that everybody would be honest with themselves about where they are in their journey. Do they need to be saved by you? Do they need a life raft? Do they need to be healed by you so they can be put back into service? Or are they ready to be put into service now? And Lord, I pray, God, that you give us all that extreme self-awareness of our needs. And I pray, Lord, that you would meet these needs right now, Lord, as we worship. In Jesus' name we pray.
When night is falling, fear is coming, still you're calling me. When faith is lost and my hope exhausted, still you are my strength. When my mind says I'm not good enough, God, you're enough for me. I've decided I'm not giving up. You won't give up on me. You won't give up on me. Your love is holding on and it won't let go. I feel it breaking out like an echo. Your love is holding on and it won't let go, no. I feel it breaking out like an echo. Echo in my soul, this echo in my soul. In every season, you keep repeating promises to me. Now there's no stopping what you have started until it is complete. When my mind says I'm not good enough, God, you're enough for me. Yes, I've decided I'm not giving up, no, you won't give up on me. You won't give up on me. Your love is holding on and it won't let go. I feel it breaking out like an echo. Your love is holding on and it won't let go, no. I feel it breaking out like an echo. It's echoing my soul. I'm not good enough. God, you're enough for me. I've decided I'm not giving up. No, you won't give up on me. You won't give up on me. Your love is holding on and it won't let go. I feel it breaking out like an echo. Oh, your love is holding on and it won't let go. I feel it breaking out, breaking out. Your love is holding on and it won't let go. I feel it. like an echo. Oh, your love is holding on and it won't let go, no. I feel it breaking out like an echo. This echo in my soul. So
say that the natural state of anything in life is deterioration, right? Dilapidation. If you look at a building that is super old, that hasn't been lived in, that hasn't been kept up, it starts to crumble and it starts to break. And unfortunately, humans are no different. We are deteriorating bodies. Mm-hmm. Like we are wasting away in our bodies. And that seems really negative and really horrible to think about. But fortunately, we serve a God who does the opposite of that, who renews us and makes us new. And so what I really want to get through to you guys is that our heart as young leaders is that we believe that Jesus is in the renewal business. Mm-hmm. We believe that Jesus is in the salvation business. We believe that if you connect with Him, then that connects you to God the Father, and the work that they do together is an amazing work. Mm-hmm. That kind of work is. Let me just read the scripture, all right? Because I have a verse for you guys tonight, and I just kind of want to leave you guys with this thought, and I'll let Shane give the last thought. But it's in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says this, 4:16. It says, "We do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient." Mm. That means they're here today, gone tomorrow, right? Mm. "But the things that are unseen are eternal." And we believe that God is doing things in ways that we cannot see with our eyes, and we cannot hear with our ears, but we know it's happening. And we believe in this, and we're willing to do whatever it takes to get people to understand. Please connect with God. Mm-hmm. If you come to church on Sunday when we're back together, then that's great. But if you come back to church on Sunday when we're back together and you don't connect with God on an authentic level, it's going to be a waste of your time. That's the truth.
Yeah.
It really is. If you read the Bible and you don't connect with God on an authentic level, it's going to be a waste of time. Mm. If you sing a song but don't connect with God on an authentic level, it's going to be a waste of time. And so our heart is that you would see past the things that we do and see why we do it. We do it because we serve a God who is real and who can change us.
Yeah, and I, again, speaking of new, you know, a couple Wednesdays ago, I was speaking about, you know, the whole new beginning thing. I use this verse in Isaiah 43, it says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" And I said that a lot of us have this perspective of new as it is an isolated incident. Like new stops when new gets here, as opposed to like what you said is God's in the renewal business. Mm-hmm. The church has and will continue to morph and become new and adapt to culture. Mm-hmm. It will continue to adapt to culture. So as we progress as a church and we try these radical things, VBF's DNA is radical. Mm-hmm. When I first stepped through the doors at VBF, I expected to see traditional. They were already doing radical. The thing is now, you know, 12, 13 years later, culture is continuing to shift. So, you know, social media and media driven, we talked about it earlier, people are gonna wanna come less through the doors of church. We're gonna have to go out there and reach them. Yeah. God's gonna create new ways and avenues for us to reach people. And for those of us that are more, we hold on to the traditional side of church, we gotta hold on to our seats. Yeah. We encourage you to, man, if we are doing some things that are, seem a little radical, know that that's the way VBF has always worked. We've walked by the Holy Spirit. Pastor Ron's taught us to do that. And we've, you know, our heart is to continue what he's been led by the Holy Spirit to make VBF, to continue that for the future. And that means doing crazy things, yeah, because the Holy Spirit leads us in ways that we won't know. And so I think that as we do new things, not throwing again the term the baby out with the bathwater, holding on to the values and that are the Word of God, but the way to reach people are going to change. And God's given, what's crazy is some of you that are watching that have, you may feel like you don't have anything to add to the body of Christ. It may be you're looking at the lens through a traditional view, mm, and your talents, your giftings can be to reach people here down the road. And we need you as a church as we progress forward. Pastor Ron, Josh, myself, the rest of the VBF staff, we need you. You know, we're going to be doing some cool stuff. As
those, my third prediction was that need is going to increase, and mm-hmm, so the church has historically been one of the most important bodies of people that are working toward, you know, fulfilling those needs. And so that's where you are involved in this. You guys, if you're not the hands and feet, then there ain't no hands and feet, right? Mm-hmm. And Jesus needs hands and feet. And I saw a guy, I was pulling in to the church parking lot, and I saw a guy get out, and he was hugging a homeless dude. And I was thinking, I'm like, dude, this is the coronavirus. I'm like, but he had the mask on, he had gloves on. And I believe that that guy was doing that out of the love of his heart. And I know that guy had to be a Christian.
Amen.
Just seeing that need of that human touch happening. Now, I'm not telling you guys all to go do that, all right? Disclaimer, you know, stay safe. But love is a need, and we need to love each other. And whether it's texting somebody or whether it's giving somebody a hug in your own home, when's the last time you did that, right? Mm. But we're going to have opportunities for you guys to do that. And so stay with us. We're going to have some fun together. It's going to be a wild year. We're going to try new things, drive in church, whatever it is. We're going to try new things, mm-hmm, and we're going to always try to meet culture where they are, because we believe that's the mature thing to do. That's the right thing to do. And so, mm-hmm, that's our heart. That's what we're going to do together.
Mm-hmm.
Love you, bro.
Amen.
I never say this enough.
Well, thanks, man.
But I do.
That's right. We just had a moment.
Yeah, we're like extended family. It's okay.
We just had a moment.
So we're still social distancing.
That's it. If you have any issues, you can email Josh at jvietti@vbf.org.
Still not my email. But anyway, good night, guys. Let's do one more worship song. And, yep, we'll see what happens.
When darkness tries to roll over my boat, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. And my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. And my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love, yeah. Shame no longer has a place to hide. Well, I am not captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Yes. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. And my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. And my fear doesn't stand a chance when I I am standing on the rock. I am standing in your love. I am standing on the rock, my firm foundation, my firm foundation.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.